Hi, everybody. It's Chris here from the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel. Just to let you know, as always, this podcast is now part of the 90 Minute Football Network and proudly sponsored by www.pt-4-u.co.uk. Enjoy the episode. Hi everybody, welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel. Is your match preview for Newcastle United versus Leeds United. Hang on, other way around. Leeds United versus Newcastle United. I am joined by two new faces to the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel. So first of all, Harry, how are you doing, mate?
I'm all right, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm not bad. Rushed, but I'm not bad. We are also joined by Ian Dayton. People will recognise the name from the comments on YouTube. So Ian is a member of the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel as well. So thanks for joining us, Ian. How are you doing?
Not a lot. Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, mate.
So we'll just get straight into business, boys. We're here to talk about the game come Saturday. Obviously, on the back of what felt like a defeat against Watford at St. James's Park, I feel as if everybody after that game felt it. The deflation in St. James's Park when we concede that late equaliser. Harry, I'll come to you first because I know you were at the ground. Did you feel as if that was almost a final nail in the coffin for Newcastle?
For me, yeah. I'm quite optimistic with when it comes to Newcastle. Some may say delusional. but to be honest, I was going in the game thinking, we can do this. Like, why not? They've got a lot of show after Cambridge. But it was just poor. There was nothing going for us. I suppose, realistically, the 1-1 was deserved. We didn't deserve anything else. We went 1-0 up. Obviously, so happy for that to happen. But after that, it was just flat. And I feel like it is. I feel like we are kind of not going to get out of the situation we're in, to be honest. I think this is us. This is us for the rest of the season.
Do you think a few late additions in the transfer window? I know it's January the 20th now, so there's still a week and a bit left. Do you think if we'll bring a couple of more faces in, then obviously it's going to boost our chances of staying up? But do you feel as if it's already done now, despite only 2 points off safety?
It completely depends. I mean, Burnley have so many games in hand on us. Depends how their games go. The people that we bring in, I feel like, need to improve the certain positions. Or, for me, personally, Jesse Lingard would be fantastic for us. It's important to get a holding midfielder in or a centre-back. But, I mean, I know you were talking about it on Monday. I feel like we need someone in that number 10 role to support the striker, to support the wingers.
You need some creativity in the midfield role, don't you?
Exactly. Well, yeah, creativity and going to move forward. Shelby's creative, but he doesn't move. Like, he'll just pass a ball, and that's good. That's his job. He's not expected to go forward. Joe Willock, I don't see why he's not in number 10. I feel like Howe's tried to play him in a bit of a holding midfield role, which isn't what he is. It was always turned up late in the box, header, shot, goals. But at the minute, it's struggling. We need that creativity, like you said, with hopefully Lingard.
Yeah. I'll come straight across to you, Ian. Obviously, looking at the game at Elland Road there, and I know we've just been talking about how flat one and Leeds, a great result against West Ham. In the cup game last week, the absolute fantastic result. And I'm sat watching that match and I'm thinking, shit, they're going to tear us a new arsehole if we don't bring a couple of defenders in. We haven't brought those defenders in, so it looks like Jamal Lascelles is going to be back in there, probably alongside Fabian Scher. Are you as worried as me?
Wait, before, if we go back to like before Cambridge and then before Watford, I thought, like, obviously getting Trippier in, massive signing. And then you have like that boost, and then you go into the Cambridge game, get beat, and then you're deflated, and then you're signing in Chris Wood. Yes, he's not a great name, but he's probably what we need at the minute. You think, right, Watford haven't, I think they were on the run of 7 defeats. Think, right, we can get something from there, get a bit of momentum, and then same again. It even though it was a draw, it just felt like a defeat, and it just deflates you. I know Leeds haven't done great of late. I think that they've only won 2 in
up
the
and
last
down.
6. Yeah,
it's really up and down. The conceded 7 against Man City as well.
Yeah, I think 4 against Arsenal. I mean, they're teams that can cut you open anyway. Yeah. But looking at West Ham, I know West Ham have had a lot of games, and sort of that was probably a benefit to Leeds. But just with the intensity that they get at you, I don't think, definitely with midfield, will not cope. And then you look at sort of the calamities that we've got at the back. I think it's just written that it's going to be a big Leeds win, unfortunately.
Straight in there, straight in with a Leeds win. Yeah. I probably agree with you, to be fair. And I think, I'm not sure what your thoughts on this, Harry, but I was hoping to get at least one more face in the door. And that's not a dig at the new owners or anything like that. It's just me being hugely optimistic about new faces coming through the door at St. James's Park. And one of those has to be a defender, which we've mentioned there. And with the likes of Jamal Sells, who's came on a huge criticism, I think Fabian Shea probably got off lightly against Watford because he's part of that back four as well. But Jamal Sells, he just doesn't look up to speed. And the problem which we have right now is that Leeds are very good on the counter-attack. And with our midfield already missing and not really having any legs in there whatsoever, you're looking at your centre-backs and your wing-backs to hold the fort, really. Jamal Sells, for me, I can't see past it, mate. I really can't.
No, I mean, definitely not. I think, like you said, he has been off the pace. We need, for me, Fabian Shaw, he can pass the ball. He can get out of tricky situations. He's a bit of a playmaker from the back, which I feel is what Hal enjoys. He has his wing-backs kind of sitting on the halfway line, I've noticed. But Lascelles won't make those passes. He'll just turn around and go back to the keeper, or Shelby will come well deep to pick it up. And I mean, I know Leeds have a lot of people out at the moment, but who they don't have out is Dan James, Rafinha, Luke Harrison, people who are pacey, who can hit you on the counter-attack. Yes, Lascelles might not have to deal with balls in the air like he did against Watford, with Bamford being out. But we are going to struggle, definitely.
That's what worries me, though, Harry, the fact that he doesn't have to deal with the balls in the air, because we saw him against Burnley earlier in the season, and he probably had the best game that he's had so far this season, when he's just there basically just to head the ball away. That's probably where Lascelles is best. Obviously, we saw the other side of that against Watford, where he barely jumps for the ball in the dying minutes of the game. But I think Lascelles' game, if it's in the air, then he's a hell of a lot better player than what he is when people are got the ball on the ground and running towards him, because he turns himself into knots every single time.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of reminds me of, I know there's a massive price difference, but when Harry Maguire was playing against us at home, I feel like it was very similar performance to the way Jamal Lascelles plays. If he gets put under pressure, he doesn't know where to go, and he ends up just either just booting it out or losing the ball. But I just really hope that whatever we do, if it is in the air, which it won't be because of Bamford, but on the pace he's not got a lot of legs, and I think we'd get done on his side, definitely.
Somebody that's came on a lot of criticism, Ian, is Saint Maximum. And I'm saying criticism, it's not obviously people being overly harsh on him, but worried about his decision-making and holding on the ball a bit too long. A lot of people are asking for Saint to be dropped, which I find absolutely baffling, to be honest, mate, because he's the only one who's creating these chances and scoring goals forward at the end of the day. What side of the fence are you on with Saint?
Probably bang in the middle. So I can see both sides of the argument. He's a better version of Hatton Ben Arfa, in my opinion. He's a little bit more consistent, but some of his decision-making, you can see why fans get frustrated. But at the same time, if you take him out of the team, who is going to have that sort of moment of magic where he'll get a goal? I think a lot of it does come from possibly with tactics, because, yes, you can see the improvements under Howe. We do get at teams a little bit more, but sort of the whole sort of crux of our attack is give it a St Maximum, see what he can do with it. I don't think we've got the players in midfield that are clever enough to support him, because obviously he's drawn 2-3 players out at a time. That, yes, there's a couple of occasions where he could sort of give the ball to the free man. He's drawn players off them, but he'll go and try and beat all of them at once. But in the same breath, going back to what Harry said, you've got the likes of Shelby in the middle who won't make that run to go and support him. He's the player that's sort of essentially like the quarterback, where you'll pass it and sort of that's his job done, really.
going back to what you said as well, I massively think we need a number 10 up there to support them, or even try something different. Because I know we play sort of three across the middle, then the two wingers and the forward. I'd like to see we play sort of the two holding midfielders and then three supporting. At this minute in time, it'll be Chris Wood, just to see if there's anything different can be done going forward and not have to rely on Maxi so much.
Yeah, what are you expecting from Chris Wood? I'll stay with you, mate. Are you expecting big things from him, or is it one of those things where we're going to have to support him, just like Sid needs the support as well up top? Because against Watford, Chris Wood couldn't have really done much because he's isolated once again.
But yeah, it's very much like Joe Linton, and we know now he's probably not a £40 million striker. Hell of a midfielder, by the way.
He's an £80 million midfielder now, mate.
I think Wood is going to be isolated a lot if that's sort of a game plan. I genuinely think the signing of Chris Wood, we needed a striker in for Watford. Obviously, he didn't have much of an impact, not sort of any fault of his. I think it's a case of we've looked at who's available, who can do a job in the Premier League, but also who can do a job in the Championship as well. he does come with goals. I think I've seen a stat where he kicks on in the second half of the season.
Five consecutive seasons, I think he's hit double figures. Yeah, so that's what it was. They normally come later on in the season.
I think, because I know we've got a lot of flack, well, he's only scored three goals this season. I think there was a stat where I think four goals was as much as he had scored in previous seasons, and then obviously got the double figures. So I would like to see a game plan that involves sort of getting the best out of him. And whether that's sort of when Wilson comes back as well, or playing someone off him rather than just literally him up front on his own. I think that's how we're going to get the best out of him.
How is the one area on the field for Newcastle now, which fills you full of dread going into this game on Saturday? Is there one specific area you think we're going to struggle here?
There's two, probably. behind the attacker in the defence. I think your two centre-backs haven't been good enough recently. And I feel like we've been rambling on loads about a number 10. I feel like when Howe came in, the pressing football that we did play was good. But Watford was a bit back to lump ball again, bit prissy ball, to be honest. It was just kind of lumping it up front, and it never went to Wood for me. It was more Joe Linton was your target man. And then when you head it down, there's no one there. So you need someone else to come in behind the attacker. Joe Linton plays on the left of midfield, but I feel like you should play in the centre of midfield because he gets up. So if he gets up and he's in the centre of the pitch, he could be there for that number 10 role. I mean, yes, he's a great centre midfielder, but he joined us and went straight to striker, but left Hoffenheim as a left winger, number 10. So, I mean, we don't know. I don't have a clue what the lineup's going to be, but the centre back, hopefully we get someone in, but it doesn't look likely. Has to be by Friday at noon, I think, doesn't it? But obviously, yeah. if we get Carlos in or something like that.
Even if you bring him tomorrow by dinner time, you've got the whole thing with the likes of the visa issues as well. So he's not going to visa to play in a game come Saturday, mate. I think the squad that we've got now and the squad we're going in against Watford is probably going to be that. You're not going to see anybody else arrive in time, I wouldn't have thought. Done the podcast with Keith Downey and very insightful what he was saying yesterday, saying that he can't he's hoping to see another three or four players come in by the end of the transfer window, but expects us to do most with deals now in the dying days of January, probably because it's players waiting for better offers. And I'm not talking about money-wise, I'm just talking about league position and future and things like that. And Newcastle right now, they can't give them a huge... Well, they can't promise them a future in the Premier League because we are sat in 19th now. We might as well call 20th, to be fair, with the games in hand that Burnley have got. Ian, come back to you, mate. Is there any way we can win this game on Saturday?
No. Simple as that. I just think, for all Leeds haven't performed as well as they have last season, I just think they'll have too much for in terms of the pace and the intensity that they can counter-attack. Yes, that would probably leave them open to get counter-attacked, but again, if you look at us, we've won one game all season. There's a reason for that. But personally, I think in terms of, because I know it was discussed, I think it was 21 points we've thrown away from leading positions.
Yeah.
I think it's down to the mentality where, yes, you've went into the lead, but you don't know then how to play football after that, simply because you've had Bruce for, what was it, 2.5, 3 seasons where you just sort of sat back and defended, and then that was it. That was your game plan. I think, despite obviously the Premier League players, that is the mentality that they're stuck in at the minute, is, well, yes, we've scored, but the likelihood is we're going to go out and concede and either draw or lose the game. So, unfortunately, I don't see any way past Leeds, which is a bit sad because it's not as even as like Leeds or Man City or anything like that. Mm. But it's
realistic though, mate, isn't it? Yeah. I think that this is the thing why Newcastle fans get pissed off, because it's even more heightened now and emphasised now since we became the richest club in the world. Is it like we're getting tagged left, right, and centre? Is that you get all these media outlets saying Newcastle United want this, Newcastle United fans want that, and really we're previewing a game here against Leeds, who've only just been promoted a couple of seasons ago, and obviously they've kicked on and done a hell of a lot better than what we have done in God knows how many years in the league. And we're set here thinking, we would probably take a draw if you offered it now.
Definitely.
So give us a scoreline before we wrap this one up, Ian.
Going 3-0, 3-1 to Leeds.
Okay. Harry, straight to you, mate. Same question. Give us a scoreline.
2-1 Newcastle.
Oh, really?
Well, I just feel like they need a reality check, and you got to hope that Howes gave them that. You'd hope it'd come after Cambridge. It didn't. Watford was shocking, but they've got to realise now, like, you've got to play so much better. If it is a case of Howe needs to change it, he does, but I feel like they're going to be wanting to do it, because if some of them want to move away, they must have been told, a few of them must have been told that the future's not at the club anymore. They're going to have to put the name in the window. So you'd hope this is going to happen before the end of January, and we'll get some people out because we have to.
So you think it's going to be a kick in the arse after that Watford game and thing, right, lads, socks up now, like?
It has to be. I don't see anything else. If it's not, then I don't understand what the mentality within the club is. I feel like, yes, everyone's giving it almost a pass because of the takeover, thinking, yeah, it's all right though, it's fine, the takeover's happened, we'll bring people in. But realistically, we're at the moment probably a Championship club. 90% chance of us going down, I'd say. So unless they can turn that round, then, I mean, yeah, who knows what's going to happen.
And this game against Leeds, this is going to be the last game before we're going away. It's almost a two-week break. I think it is. It's 8th of Feb, the next home game, which I think it's a midweek game against Everton. So really, this is the last chance, because you don't want to be going into that break and the players and the club are going off to Saudi Arabia to a training camp. Training camp. So they'll probably get cramp over there. It's a training camp over there. So you need a half decent result. I'm not saying a win. You need a draw. You can't be going into that break, obviously, on the back of 3 defeats, really. Obviously one against Cambridge, Watford, and then the Leeds game. If I'm going to go for a scoreline, I'm going to go 1-1, and I'll snap your hand off right now. I'll snap your hand off for a bore draw, to be fair. Nothing happening in the game. I think really, like Harry said there, it has to be a shock to the players. You'd hope it was a shock, because that was our chance against Watford to push on. The thing that worries me is how well Leeds can play football on their day. Something which we haven't really seen from this football club, from Newcastle United. We haven't saw a fantastic performance from these players for a long time. So hopefully Leeds just on up to it come Saturday, and we can sneak something out of the game. And like I said, go into that break with a little bit of confidence. And that 2 weeks where it's going to be a week left of the transfer window, so hopefully you can bring a couple of extra faces in there and embed them into the team. Any final thoughts before we go?
Just the I seen yesterday on Twitter. I don't know if anything else has been made of it, but people were starting to freak out because the pictures of the training from the Newcastle account didn't show Wood or Trippier. So I think people are starting to panic that they've either been injured or they're just they've come down with COVID or something. So if obviously the level that Trippier is, yes, he's a fullback, he's not going to make massive changes, but just the quality of him in the squad. If you've got to then go back to having Mankiw at right back, who's done all right for the best part, and then Dummett at left back with Lascelles and whoever, I think they'll absolutely hammer with. So I don't know if, like I say, there's been anything reported. It was just people starting to freak out about Trippier being in the pictures.
They might have some sort of separate training plans, mate. You'll get that, obviously. A lot of players do have their own little schedules for training and stuff like that. So it might just be one of those. We don't really know much about it. I'm talking like the absolute pensioners here, only just turned 30 in the early 30s. But some players do have that. It might just be a case where they had picked up a knock, and fair enough. Trippier looked at Kevin Holney's shoulder towards
the
end.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Holney's shoulder, and it looked like the last few minutes he was really struggling. So hopefully it's nothing big, but Eddie Howe's press conference will be on Friday there, so we'll should hear some things from that. But I don't think anything's been released in regards to injury updates.
Injuries, yeah.
Like yeah, so fingers crossed, both of them all right, because like you've said, your two new faces in the transfer window, if they've already picked up injuries, that's worrying.
Just a bit. I'll tell you what as well, though, I think that we're saying that would take a draw. It completely depends what happens on Friday between Watford and Norwich. If one of those teams win, then the only result is a win.
Is a win,
to make sure, because if they win and we draw, then it once again feels like a loss.
Well, I think we'll still have a game in hand against Norwich. I'm sure Norwich will play one more game than us, I think. So I get what you're saying, though. Other teams around us picking up wins, and you look not so long ago, Leeds were dropping into the likes of the relegation fight, but obviously they've started to climb up. Everton might get dragged into it, but obviously Everton have just sacked Rafa there, so they would hope that they would have some sort of bounce. Something which we didn't really have. Every other team, Villa had it, Norwich had it, when they appointed their new managers, we just didn't get it, which is a shame, because you normally get at least a couple of wins on the back of a new managerial appointment.
Is that down to the players, though? Do you know what I mean? Is it down to the players' kind of mentality?
It's the losers' mentality, mate. I mentioned this last week. It's a team full of players that are used to losing games. And like he said earlier, you take the lead and they just don't know what to do. They just shit the brick. That's why you need new faces in that team. You need a handful of new faces to try and bring a new mentality. And some players that are used to winning, and that's what Trippier is like. Chris Wood, definitely not like. But Kieran Trippier, he's used to winning games, just won a league title, had a fantastic Euros as well. So you would think that he could bring his, obviously, history and what he's done in his career. And he's an absolute winner, that kid. And you would hope that. Yeah. Mate, you're probably right.
For that the other day.
You're probably right. I think if Jamal Lascelles is dropped at any point, then you probably would look at Kieran Trippier to wear that captain's armband. I know you've got your vice captain, who's Shelby, I think, at the minute.
Yeah.
But you would hope that Trippier would be wanting that armband, because we've seen it in, two games? Like, how much of an influence he is on that field. So
you understand the footballer teams.
He's head and shoulders above the rest of them, and it's as clear as day to see that. But thank you very much, boys. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I'm sure everybody who is listening to this will hear a lot more of your voices in the coming weeks when it comes to match previews and match reactions as well. So we're going for a 3-1 defeat. We're going for a 2-1 victory. And we're going for a 1-1 draw.
Proper mix.
Come at all grounds.
One of us is going to be right.
Well,
it's usually not me as well, so that's why I'm kind of going for a loss, because usually whatever I say when I put bets on, the opposite happens. So fingers crossed
mate. All right, thanks boys, it's been an absolute pleasure, like I said. We'll see you next time.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Chris.